Thank you. Good afternoon. I call to order this Committee of the Whole for Planning and Public Works on Monday, November 3rd. Just a quick announcement off the top, and council members do have copies of this flyer. The city is so excited about the overwhelming amount of community interest in supporting our neighbors with food security at this time. There is a flyer available on the city website and through the social media regarding how to support both the Renewal Food Bank and HopeLink. So please do check that out if you are interested. We have seven items of business in today's committee meeting. Excuse me, we have nine items of business. Six council members are in attendance: Council President Kritzer, Council Vice President Forsyth, Council Member Nueve Camina, Council Member Fields, Council Member Salahuddin, and myself, Council Member Stewart. Kicking us off with our planning and planning and community development items is Jeff Churchill. Welcome.
Good afternoon, council members. Each year, council has the authority to index impact fees for inflation. Glenn Coyle is here today to brief council members on proposed impact fee changes in 2026 to account for inflation. Also, a representative from the Lake Washington School District is available online to answer any questions about school fees. Glenn.
Good afternoon, council members. I am Glenn Coyle, senior planner. I just wanted to provide some context on impact fees for the community. Impact fees are one-time charges collected by the city from new commercial and residential developments to fund fire, park, school, and transportation facilities needed to accommodate growth. Impact fees are authorized in RMC 310. Indexing or updating Redmond's impact fees annually allows the rates to keep pace with inflation, to maintain the purchasing power of these impact fees, and to help provide the capital facilities necessary to serve growth in Redmond. RMC 310 establishes the indexes and procedures that the City Council may apply annually to index or update the city's Redmond's impact fees. The city also collects school impact fees on behalf of the Lake Washington School District by interlocal agreement. School impact fees, calculated by the Lake Washington School District, reflect a proportional share of the costs of school-related system improvements that are reasonably related to new development. So, for 2026, park impact fees will increase by 2.01%. Transportation impact fees will increase by 0.85%. School impact fees for single-family homes will increase from $5,972 per unit to $7,277 per unit. And fees for multifamily units will increase from $0 to $170. Also to note, fire impact fees will not be indexed in 2026.
Welcome to Zoom. If you are the meeting host.
Fire is updating its functional plan and in conjunction is conducting an impact fee rate study with proposed new fee schedule based on capital needs related to growth. Parks will also be working on a rate study in 2026 with a new schedule to be adopted for 2027. And lastly, transportation will be updated in its transportation facilities plan as part of the TMP update in 2026, which will necessitate an updated fee schedule for 2027. So, thank you.
And we are asking that this item be placed on consent for December 2nd.
December 2nd, not November 18th. I had November
18th. Is it? November 18th.
I saw it on both. Either one would work, I believe.
Okay. Well, we'll see what the questions are and see if there's any additional work to take care of. Okay. Thank you so much for the introduction. What are the questions from the council? Council Vice President Forsyth.
Thank you. The single-family dwelling unit for schools is a pretty big increase from 5,000 to 7,000. Percentage-wise, that's pretty big. Does that take into account the... what is taken into account for that increase? And are we taking into account declining enrollment rates?
I'm looking up at the screen to see if Brian Buck, he is here from the Lake Washington School District. I think he can help answer that.
Welcome, Brian.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, so the key drivers really for the rate are the single family student generation rate, which increased from a 0.648 to 0.717. The multifamily generation rate also increased. The single family assessed value increased, so that in essence, decreases the fee there, where the multifamily assessed value decrease, which is an increase for the fee. So it's primarily the student generation rates for single family.
Thank you. Does that answer your question, Vice President Forsyth, or did you have a follow-up?
I'm not sure it does. I might need to see it in writing to be able to follow it. Felt like a flowchart to me.
Okay. I think there is a link in our packet that goes to their documents as well. We'll go around in case anyone else has a question, other questions. I'll go ahead and chime in. Brian, thank you so much for being with us. I also had a question for our staff. How about the housing that is being developed in Redmond City Limits, but is for students in the Bellevue School District? We currently have four cranes in the sky. Will we be collecting those fees on behalf of the Bellevue School District, or will Bellevue collect those and transmit them? I'm just curious about that neighborhood in particular.
My understanding is Redmond does not have an interlocal agreement with Bellevue for school impact fees.
Meaning we are not collecting school impact fees that the Bellevue School District could otherwise be benefiting from.
Bellevue School District has not asked the city to collect impact fees on their behalf. So we do not collect them there. If Bellevue School District approached the city and asked the city to do that, that's something that we could do through an interlocal agreement.
Okay, thank you. That does answer my question. Council President Kritzer.
Sorry, just wanted a clarification on that one. So for the units that aren't in Lake Washington School District, would we collect impact fees on those?
No. Okay. We only collect on behalf of the school district through the interlocal agreement that gives us the authority to collect said fees.
Within their boundaries.
Yeah,
okay.
Within the boundaries.
Thank you. Other questions from the council on the development impact fees? Okay, and in case the date is the 18th, meaning we would be also good to go in early December, are there any objections to this item going to consent on November 18th? I see a question from Vice President Forsyth.
Thanks. I'm not seeing what was discussed by Mr. Buck. So if we could get that information, that would be very helpful for me.
Yes, but we can share a link to the capital facilities plan that the Lake Washington School District, and that's the appendices have the methodology that Brian.
That's where I'll look. Okay. Laid out. I'm not opposed though. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And thank you, Glenn. Appreciate being here. Thank you, Mr. Buck. Item number two on our agenda tonight is the 2025-2027 Washington State Department of Transportation, Transportation Demand Management and Commute Trip Reduction Implementation Agreement. And Kim has joined us at the table as well as Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you again. This grant agreement is for $2,014,300 and is included in the biennial budget and is proposed to be part of the consent agenda on November 18th. And Kim Keeling is here to provide additional information.
Good afternoon, Council. I'm Kim Keeling, the Program Administrator. The city is mandated to implement commute trip reduction law, which also supports the Comprehensive Plan, Transportation Master Plan, and the Environmental Sustainability Action Plan. This agreement with Washington State Department of Transportation will provide $214,300 for city services provided from July 1st, 2025 through June 30th of 2027 to implement CTR law in Redmond. Timely adoption of this interlocal agreement is necessary to allow the city to bill WashDOT grant for the city services provided from July 1st to September 30th of 2025. And I'm requesting this item be placed on the November 18th consent agenda. And thank you. Happy to answer any questions.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Are there any questions from the council? Councilmember Fields.
Questioning the decrease, what is a newly affected jurisdiction? Newly affected jurisdiction entering the state programs. The program is expanding, therefore it dilutes the funds. Is that
what? Right, so a new jurisdiction entered the CTR program so all the state funding is divided amongst all of the affected jurisdictions, and then based on the number of sites each jurisdiction has, determines how much funding you receive. And there's a base amount of funding that you receive for the first five. And then after that, there's an amount applied to each site. And so this year, there was a jurisdiction that entered the program, which then decreased the funding because there was more jurisdictions in the pool.
So whether the funding went up in total, that this dilution is because of one jurisdiction?
One that I'm aware of. I don't know all of the jurisdictions, but I know there is one in King County that came into the program as a new jurisdiction. It's also based on the sites can fluctuate and the number of employers can fluctuate depending on from year to year, depending on employers leaving the program or leaving the city.
Oh, so there may be other. I mean, it's a one-third drop, so that's not insignificant. That's quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So I was just trying to understand. The program has grown in interest or popularity, mm-hmm. but the overall total has not gone up enough to offset the new players.
Correct.
Got it. Interesting. Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from the council? Seeing none, are there any objections to this item going to consent on November 18th? Okay. Thank you so much, Kim. We appreciate it. Item number 3 on our agenda is award of a business license process, policy, and compliance evaluation and recommendation contract to Strategica Incorporated in the amount of $150,000. We are welcoming Philly Marsh to the table.
Good afternoon, Council. This agenda item is for the approval of a consultant contract to conduct a business license process, policy, and compliance evaluation and recommendations. This is in alignment with the 25-26 budget, and staff conducted an RFP process, received 4 proposals, and Strategica Inc. was selected by the scoring committee. The contract is for $150,000. And economic development staff worked closely with business licensing as well as finance on developing the scope of work and will continue to work collaboratively with them through the consultant contract. The scope of work includes a review of Redmond's business license baseline, a peer city comparative analysis, conducting a compliance audit, and then developing recommendations to improve business license compliance, reporting, and monitoring. We request this item to be placed on the November 18th consent agenda. Thank you, and we're happy to take questions.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Philly. It's exciting to see this come back, as this was a big topic of discussion when we crafted the latest biennial budget. What are the questions from the council? Council President Kritzer.
Just to be clear, in terms of what we would expect coming back, will we expect for them? I know when we did the budget, we were discussing that we would be looking holistically as part of this to figure out what's the kind of right level to charge in terms of business licenses. Is that going to be part of the recommendation?
This will not be part of this first phase of it. The first phase is just to understand the compliance and any gaps in compliance. And then once we have that data, then the next phase of the fee study will be led through finance.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Nueva Camino.
Thank you. Oftentimes it's the compliance piece that will get sticky, and we can have policies, rules, regulations, but then the compliance, we typically sometimes will not have enough resources to ensure compliance with those. Once we're done with the study and we're seeing what is called out as a possible revenue leak, do we have the confidence that we'll be able to put the recommendations for compliance into place?
This scope of work has those recommendations. So those recommendations will be made to the city to then evaluate and see what's possible.
Thank you.
Council President Kritzer.
Just one other question. I noticed that in terms of looking at different types of business licenses, one is short-term and vacation rentals, which which I know we're looking at passing some additional code around that. So would this would be kind of working to refine that further?
Correct. Yeah, we kind of were running them in parallel. We wanted to make sure that we had something in place before the World Cup, but then also utilizing this study to just see if we had the right recipe, if there's anything else we learned from other jurisdictions or the consultant to kind of have a phase two of that if needed.
Okay, great. And if the chair will permit, I'll ask one other question. Can you just briefly share your expectations in terms of engagement outside of the city, since I think a lot of the steps are working internally?
Outside of the city, as in outside of the city jurisdiction with other cities, or?
In terms of kind of community
stakeholder, yeah. There's actually limited stakeholder engagement with this. This is really focused on data and being able to have that quantitative information. And then I think once we know what those recommendations are and have recommendations for changes, then that would then involve more kind of business involvement and engagement.
Councilmember Fields.
Yeah, I love these expressions, revenue leakage. Sounds like a hole in the bucket or something. Do we have any kind of preliminary estimates of what the revenue leakage amount is that we are hoping to plug up?
We do not. Where this came is actually when we were doing the economic development strategic plan and using business license data and realizing that there might be some businesses missing from that. So that's what kind of clued us in and wanted to do this study to understand what that gap is, how big that gap is in terms of just number of businesses and the data we have on the businesses, but then that next step further in terms of what we may not have in terms of compliance and the associated revenue leakage of that.
Will this work result in any estimates about that, or is this just going to be policies and process?
It will. So the focus of this scope is really on that data analysis. So looking at secondary sources and being able to compare our business license information to those other sources and seeing where the delta is of the gap.
Okay. So it could be a leak or it could be just some gushing break in the dam. We don't know, right?
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? Councilmember Nueva Camina.
Thank you. Philly, thank you for coming along in this conversation with us. For those that are listening, it could sound like we're just looking at, you know, like where are we missing revenue as a city? Where can we be charging our businesses more? On the flip side of that, can you share with us what the benefits to the benefit to the businesses and the community is for us to be doing this work?
Yeah, we want to know who our businesses are so we can provide resources for them. So we have a growing business assistance program, and we want to make sure that we can connect with those businesses and make sure they can take advantage of that information that we have to help them thrive within Redmond. So that is, from an economic development perspective, that is our sole focus, is being able to know what businesses are and be able to track the trends of those businesses to be able to then make informed decisions on interventions we need to take in order to continue to have a thriving economy. So from our economic development perspective, that is our goal with this study.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions, is there any objection to this item going to consent on the 18th? Looks like we are good to go. Thank you, Philly. Appreciate
you. Thank you.
Item number 4 on our agenda today is approval to renew an agreement that helps us set up for Indigent Defense Services and representation here at the City of Redmond. Welcome, Brooke.
Good afternoon, Council. We are here to request your approval of renewing the city's contract with King County for the provision of public defense emergency screening. It's a little bit of a mouthful there. Individuals who are not able to afford an attorney may request a public defender, and King County currently screens to determine eligibility for this service. The city contract with King County, and we find that this contract is more cost-effective than, and efficient than the city providing this screening. In your packet, you have a copy of the agreement. There are a couple of changes for 2026. One is a small increase of 10% of the monthly cost. I think it's, excuse me, I didn't put that down, but a total annual cost of $4,000. And the agreement also includes a provision that grants the mayor authority to renew this agreement if there are no substantive changes. So this hopefully will be fairly routine every year, so we don't have to come back. But certainly if there is more substantive changes, we'll come back and have that discussion with the council. We are requesting that this be placed on the December 2nd consent agenda.
Thank you, Brooke. And just to confirm, my notes had November 18th. If we were ready on November 18th, would you like to have it then?
That would be fine. I'm okay. Not sure why I didn't pick the 18th.
No, that's okay. Well, November is such a funny month. Okay. But we'll see what the questions are from the council. Questions? Councilmember Nueva Camina.
Thank you. No question, just a comment. Just calling out that change in this contract, that then it can be under the mayor's approval, so that a contract that is this small, unless there are substantive changes, then that will free up staff time as well. So happy to see this on consent.
I'll just add one comment, Brooke. I'm in support of this agreement here today. I think actually this topic has been coming up quite a bit since we have the new ruling on the standards of service that we'll be working toward over the next few years. And there's of course gonna be a lot of talk in Olympia and about how to make those services whole. I don't think that the council has actually received any kind of briefing or memo. A memo would be perfect, an email would be perfect, but on what is the impact of the ruling in the city of Redmond, and how much does this contract need to grow in order for us to meet that standard over the coming years? So if council could receive that at some point in the next few weeks, I think that could be also really helpful.
Okay, thank you. Definitely, and just to clarify, the number of clients seeking won't be impacted by the caseload standards, but I would say that we've seen a pretty consistent number of caseload, but I would definitely put that on the work plan to come back.
Thank you, appreciate that. Like I said, could definitely be an email. Okay, thank you. Are there any objections to this item going to consent either on November 18th or December 2nd? Seeing none, we will have this back. Thank you so much. All right, and thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. We are now transitioning to our public works items. Item number 5 on our agenda is approve final contract with Active Construction Incorporated and accept construction of the 156th Cycle Track Project. Welcome to the table, Deputy Director Vanjie Garcia and Steve Gibbs. Welcome.
Good evening, Council. It's 5 o'clock, so it's evening officially. So this is the final contract acceptance and acceptance of the project for the 156 cycle track. This action closes out the contract with Active Construction Incorporated.
So this is fairly good news on this contract, just a little bit over the contract amount, but we're about $1.2 million under budget on this one. I'm happy to take any questions on this.
Council President Kritzer.
I'll just say this is such an exciting project. So many of our residents are going to and are taking advantage of this amazing new pathway, and just really appreciate the work on it.
Any other questions or comments? All right, well, thank you, Mr. Gibbs. We super appreciate your team's work on this project, and we look forward to accepting it on consent November 18th. Were there any objections to sending it to consent? All right, we'll have that back. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is a little bit more interesting. So item number six is to, thanks for sticking with us, Steve. Item number six is to reject all bids for lift station equipment upgrades phase two, project number 2408.
Thank you, Councilmember Stewart. This item requests council approval to reject all bids for the lift station equipment upgrades phase two project after a bid protest related to a recent update in state procurement law.
Yeah, unfortunate on this one. I think last time I was here, I was giving you all the good news about the bids we received and moving forward with this project. The RCW, we did capture the actual language from the RCW in the contract. But the bid form did not have a separate line for the contractor enter the license. Interesting on this contract, there are four bidders. The subcontractor was the same for all four, and only one bidder put the license number in there. The delta between the low and the responding responsive bidder is about 400K, and so we're recommending that we go out and rebid. It's not my favorite thing to do, but we will be reaching out to the bidders proactively and encourage them to bid again in January.
Thank you. So before there are questions from the council, just one last piece is that in order for a council to complete the rejection of all the bids, there is draft language for a resolution in our packets, and that's what we would be adopting on the 18th. The first question goes to Council Vice President Forsyth.
And the forms have been updated?
Yes.
Great, thanks.
Other questions? Councilmember Nueva Camina?
Thank you. No question, just comment, and that's thanking you for going ahead and noting it, seeing it, assessing it. Here's the decision that needs to be made, and here's the call that needs to be made, and even though it's not the call that you like to make, it's the call that needed to be made, so thank you.
Appreciate that. Are there any objections to this resolution going to consent on November 18th? Okay, I think we'll get this one taken care of then. Thank you, appreciate it. Item number seven on our agenda tonight is to approve consultant agreement with David Evans and Associates Incorporated and accept Department of Commerce grant for the Idlewood Park parking lot expansion and frontage improvement projects.
We're going back and forth on good and not so great. So this is a happy idea. So we're beginning design. So this is, item is for approval of a consultant agreement to begin design and accept the Department of Commerce grant funding.
Yes, thank you, Vanjie. The consultant agreement with David Evans is around $700,000. The Commerce grants around $215,000. This project will basically rebuild the existing parking lot and then expand to provide additional capacity, also addressing drainage and ADA. And we're also going to basically construct a shared use path along East Lake Sammamish. There's a lot of cars are parking on the shoulder, and it's really creating kind of a safety issue with peds and bikes using the bike lane, and so that will be one way we can address that conflict, and those cars will now have to be using the new parking, expanded parking lot.
Great, thank you so much, Council Vice President Forsyth. You are quick on the draw tonight.
I'm quick on the draw tonight. I want to get through these. Just thank you for this one. I'm really excited about this project. Always excited about ADA improvements and fixing those deficiencies. Personally very excited about the cycle path and the shared use, because that area is very dangerous and I've experienced some close calls there. So just really excited about this project in general.
Thank you. Council President Kritzer.
Yeah, thank you so much. I was looking at the information included and trying to envision exactly where the expansion of the parking lot is going to happen. I don't have the image in front of us. I don't know if we can pull that up, but it's happening directly adjacent to the existing parking lot.
Yeah, it would be to the south. If you may recall, there used to be a single family home there years ago that we took out, and so we'll be expanding the south kind of in that area.
Okay, and from the aerial map that was included, there's some trees there, but not a huge amount. I know we were just planting some further over with Green Redmond Day, so I assume we're going to go up to the line there, but there's like a couple in there, but will we do replanting on that?
Yes, yeah, there'll be landscaping around the new parking area, but we will have to take out a few trees there to do that expansion.
Okay, and then last question is, I noted, just in terms of the potential environmental impacts, that it's not a wetland area, but it is close to our shorefront. So just wanted to ensure that all of the, it seems like in terms of the scope, that all the regular kind of precautions will be taken. And the new stormwater infrastructure will be wonderful for ensuring that we're cleaning the water that's going down to Lake Sammamish.
Yes, we'll be getting all the permits, including going through a shoreline review.
Great. Just got to make sure, I'm asking for those kokanees. So.
No free passes on permits for the Capitol.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Councilmember Fields.
So there's quite a few homes, condos in that area. Is there, you anticipate any impacts during construction to the neighbors of Idlewood Park, and what outreach do we have planned to let them know what's going on?
So we'll let those folks know of the upcoming construction. We'll have some signage up as well for park users and adjacent residents. The roadways that's feeding those apartment buildings is there's a good amount of separation there. So I don't anticipate any direct impacts, but definitely noise. It might be some dust during construction. We're going to try and target construction in the summertime, and so definitely park users will be impacted a little bit.
Thank you.
All right, and just one more piece of the story I wanted to add. This grant is actually the result of the city including this project on our legislative agenda a couple of years back, we were very proud to be successful in that. Last week, the council adopted our legislative agenda for 2026, and you can find that at redmond.gov/council. It is linked there. All right. Councilmember Nueva Camina.
Thank you. Of course, construction is going to be in the summertime. We've had some increase or changed bus routes in that same area. So there's some neighbors have experienced some shifts. Will we be putting together a communication plan to let folks know, hey, this is coming, heads up?
Yeah, absolutely. Working with communications, we'll go through our kind of standard kind of a postcard to give a heads up and then get more detail as the design is developed.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I would just add that we get more detailed about the communication plan around 70% of the design, so since we're just starting design, we haven't gotten there yet.
Council President Kritzer.
I'll just say, I'm hopeful that the neighbors will ultimately appreciate that there are fewer people parking on their streets as well. And I think for everyone being able to visit this park, I know most people I know in the summer just assume they can't even park in the main parking lot when they go there because it's so overused. But I think this is going to be a great expansion, and appreciate our state legislature for supporting this project.
Wonderful. Are there any other questions? Okay. Is there any objection to this item going to consent on November 18th? Okay, seeing none, we'll have that back in just a couple weeks. Appreciate it. Item number 8 on our agenda is award construction contract with Earthworks Solutions LLC of Auburn, Washington, and approve consultant services agreement supplement 1 with Consor Incorporated for the pavement management Northeast 24th Street project from Westlake Sammamish to 172nd Avenue Northeast. Please tell us about this project.
This is a very long title. We talked about it, how we put it in the memo, but this item requests approval to move this project forward into construction and consultant support during construction. The apparent low bidder was disqualified, and we are requesting award to the next lowest responsible bidder.
Yes, that would be Earthwork Solutions for about $6.3 million, and then the supplement with the consultant for about $380,000. This project is fairly challenging work in the roadway. It's a complex utility replacement, water, sewer, and storm. The trenching, dewatering, shoring, and the conflicts of the existing utilities are significant. And just the staff believe that the disqualified bidder just did not demonstrate experience in that type of work. Mainly apartment buildings is what was in their package. And the second low definitely has done this type of work before, and so that is why staff is recommending award to Earthwork Solutions.
Thank you. Are there questions from the council? I'll go ahead and chime in, I guess, and warm us up. Mr. Gibbs, this is much more than just pavement management because we're going to take care of a bunch of stuff while the ground is open. Can you remind us what that is?
Yeah, this is a kind of a holistic approach to improving this roadway, and I'd kind of like to see us kind of continue this in the future where we're looking at everything and not overlaying and then coming back in a couple of years and having to dig up and repair some pipe. And so we worked with the maintenance and operations group and evaluated the existing pipe in the area. And so there'll be a significant amount of water main, basically AC water main. And then we also looked at storm and sewer, and we're repairing or replacing what staff is recommending. And then we'll come in and also do the curb gutter, sidewalk, ADA ramps, and then come in and do the final paving and overlay.
Great, thank you so much. Council Vice President Forsyth.
Thank you. Just looking at this, it seems like we're kind of also trying to future-proof a little bit, and my East Trail brain kind of kicks in, and I know we have a lot of conduit there for future-proofing. Are there any other future-proofing elements to this project?
As far as like putting in like empty conduits for the future, we've taken a look at that. I don't believe that like the dry utilities, which we would call like fiber and communications, we've communicated with them. They'll be a part of our design process. But at this time, I'm not aware of any replacements that they may have, but they'll have opportunities. We meet with them monthly and go over these projects. And if they have anything, we'll get it into the scope.
Great, thanks.
Councilmember Fields.
Well, I got two questions. One, I get what you're doing, totally appreciate it. Mostly just curious about, is there a critical potential failure of the infrastructure underground, or is this just mostly an opportunity to update it?
I believe in the recent past, we've had several breaks in the water main, and that's what kind of started us focusing on that. And whenever this is a fairly steep roadway, and whenever you get those water lines breaking, it's a wave of destruction.
So there is
unintended.
So there is an urgency about this.
Yes.
The other question, it has nothing to do with the project necessarily, but. When you use the word disqualified on a vendor, do you mean not selected, or do they actually not qualify? Because there's we've had this discussion in the past where we have the lowest bidder, but they may not be the best bidder. Yeah. That's different than being unqualified or disqualified.
The correct contract term would be non-responsible.
Okay. I think I like that because disqualified sounds like they did something wrong. They just didn't meet the criteria selection. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there other questions from the council? Yet another project that the neighbors will ultimately be thrilled with when that repaving is complete. All right, is there any objection to going to consent on November 18th with this item? All right, thank you so much, team. We will have that back, appreciate it. And I think we're gonna make a switch here at the table for the very last item of the night. While Deputy Director Chris Stanger makes his way to the table, I'll introduce item number 9, which is a resolution to establish additional sewer connection charges for Redmond Town Center area sewer improvements. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Councilmember Stewart, and good evening, council members. As introduced, I'm Chris Stinger, Deputy Director of Utilities Environmental Programs, and I am joined today by Jeff Thompson, Senior Engineer for the Utilities, who will be available to answer questions. So we are here to present a resolution to establish additional sewer connection charges, or ACCs, for properties within the Redmond Town Center development area. These charges are designed to support sewer system improvements needed to accommodate the anticipated growth outlined in the Redmond 2050 Comprehensive Plan. To support this growth, the city will undertake critical upgrades, including improvements to Lift Station 17 and associated sewer mains. While these projects were originally identified as developer-funded in the general 2024 General Sewer Plan, the city is proactively taking the lead to help remove redevelopment barriers and ensure timely infrastructure readiness. ACCs will ensure that the cost of these improvements are equitably shared by the parcels that directly benefit. And importantly, the intent of the city is to research and develop a larger infrastructure upgrade capital project for consideration in the future CIP process. This approach ensures the growth-related infrastructure is planned strategically, equitably funded, and aligned with long-term service needs. So this proposal aligns with the policies in the Redmond 2050 Comp Plan and General Sewer Plan, which emphasize planning adequate utilities for growth, ensuring developers pay for the infrastructure they benefit from, and providing efficient and reliable utility services. So council approval of this resolution will allow the city to move forward in developing these critical infrastructure improvements, support redevelopment readiness, and ensure future growth in the Redmond Town Center area is supported in an equitable and sustainable way. And just for reference, this resolution has been through the city attorney as well as we've worked with the developer attorney. So if approved, we're looking to add this to the November 18th, 2025 consent agenda, and we look forward to any questions and discussions on this item.
Thank you, Chris. What questions are there from the council? Councilmember Fields.
So that's a lot, what you all said. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. Is there any way to break it down? When decisions like this are made, there can be people who benefit and people who disbenefit. Can you break this down for us to say, because it's a change, who is surprised here? Which of these property owners are thinking, wow, what happened to us? Why do we have to pay for it? Is there any of that that you can share with us?
So some of you might remember we did this in the Marymore area in 2018 when that was redeveloped to benefit the Sound Transit. And all the information, or we hear back from developers, they don't like to build the offsite improvements, and they would prefer impact fee. Well, we can't do impact fees as part of a utility. We can't do impact fees. So the way we would do that is through additional connection charges. So instead of the developer, the first one in this case, would have had to build 20-some million dollars worth of improvements, and then they could have applied for a reimbursement agreement. As other developers came in, they could have paid their fair share to the original developer. So in this case, the city is agreeing to front the money. And as they come in, the costs have been proportionate on just the pipes that each parcel uses to convey their sewage. And it's basically shared equitably to where the pipes they use, and if it goes through the lift station. And this is a fair way for the developers to basically pay an impact fee for these improvements.
So we're fronting the investment, the developer. The other scenario would be the developer fronts the investment and then gets a return at some point over time. We're fronting that investment, and we'll get some return over time.
Yeah, and then we will get the money as developers come in. So the resolution outlines triggers that would cause the, you know, the developer that's coming in to pay that additional connection charge. It also outlines what's not triggered. We work with the main Redmond Town Center folks so they could maintain their retail and then maybe make some tenant improvements that would not trigger it, and then the triggers would wait until they actually redevelop the site.
Got it. You know what? I appreciate you putting that in plainer language, and it does make sense. So thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Council President Kritzer, and then Council Member Nueva Camina.
So when I imagine the projects that they would be paying back from are future or upcoming public works projects to be able to put this infrastructure in. So when we do the budget for those projects, we'll use these charges as part of the basis for looking at the kind of revenue model for paying for those. How does the kind of money flow in? Are we also, especially since we just recently approved the development agreement for a good chunk of that area, at what point does it count as developed, or that I see there's like a 50% and then another 50%? Will we expect that kind of as we're building it that we'll be getting some of that back, or what's the gap projected?
Well, it's difficult to try and set up when revenue would come in from those. You know, if we have information that, hey, this is going to be start, like we do know that, is it this similar, is it November, or did it already, the Redmond Town Center development agreement come in? So we
have already approved it.
Okay, so yeah, we have maybe some information there to say when revenue might come in for that's just for a few parcels. And then occasionally we'll hear from, you know, our development services staff that this parcel's coming in, and but it's tricky to try and know when you're going to get forecast the revenue for that. Yeah.
Got it. But so we would budget using other city funds, but we would plan to get basically kind of the reimbursement for those projects based on the potential for those.
Yeah, and we also, there's an interest that accrues for the developer as starting, I think, the first of the year, interest would start accruing, and it's like at 4.2 or some, we get that from finance.
Thank you.
Councilmember Nueva Camina.
Thank you. Along the lines of Councilmember Fields, about is it going to be equitable? Mine is more of, do they know it's coming?
Yeah, we worked with communications to do some outreach, and we came up with office hours where I was logged in and people could dial in. And we had, I think, 4 or 5. The main folks were the main Redmond Town Center folks because they were preparing their developer agreement and they wanted to make sure they weren't going to get hit with some large charges before they were really ready to develop. The other one was the hotel, and it was the manager, and she was just kind of, she got the card in the mail and thought she would dial in. So that's who we heard from.
And I ask because I think it's important, especially at this stage with our city, and we've got all of this development that is going on, that you know we're participating in our partnerships and doing our due diligence of like, hey, communicating things out and working cooperatively. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Jeff, you mentioned something that was news to me, actually, and it probably because it predates me on the council, but you mentioned that the city actually has done a similar model to this before in the Marymore area. Could you share in broad strokes how that went? Was the results achieved as was intended then and as is intended now for this part of town?
Yeah. You know, I don't get involved much with the development, but parcels have developed. I don't know. I'm assuming they have paid their additional connection charge. We do have that in the GIS, so it's easy to look up and say, hey, this parcel has to pay an additional connection charge. So.
Okay, thank you. Additional questions from the council? Councilmember Fields?
Was this a proposal to us by the developer, or did we, is this just something that as we thought about it, this was based on your answer to council members, whoever it was, about, you know, the history of it?
Yeah, we got tried to get in front of this one. We knew that it was a large amount of money for the first developer to have to front all that money. And also the developers like us fronting the money and them paying their fair share. So I think it's a win for the developer in this aspect. I mean, obviously they would prefer that we pay for all of it, but anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you. I see this proposal as one that is meeting the development community's needs where it is. We've been talking earlier tonight about our economic development goals, and this certainly would be in favor of all of that, too. Councilperson Kritzer.
Just one last comment is that in that area, as we've discussed the potential development of that area, we've gotten community feedback asking, is there enough infrastructure to support all this type of development? And I think this is an answer to that, is to say, we'll make sure there's the infrastructure.
Yeah.
And then we'll also make sure that we get the compensation for that.
Yep. So,
I appreciate it.
Appreciate that. Okay, are there any objections to this item going to consent on the 18th? All right, not seeing any. Really appreciate you, Jeff and Chris. Thank you so much for being with us. And that concludes our agenda for this evening. We are adjourned. Thank you.
And you're clear.